Well, good morning, folks. Let's open with prayer as we should always do. Father, we thank you so very much for this church. We thank you very much for this country that you allowed us to have. We thank you for the salvation that is through the belief in the finished work of the cross. And we ask that you would always give us the ability to stand for the grace that you that was accomplished through your work. And if we ask to be used through this time, we ask that we would learn and understand through the Holy Spirit as we go through your word this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. That's where we're at this morning. And again, this is not hard to understand stuff. So let's go ahead and get off into it a little bit. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you, to wit, of grace, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Yeah. Old English, don't we love it? "We do you, to wit, of the grace of God." What does that mean? That's good. So we'll bring it to regular English. That stuff that we can understand, our 20th century English. It says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given amongst the churches of Macedonia." It says, "How that a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." So basically there was a severe test of their affliction at this particular time, right? But due to their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty, they have overflowed the wealth. They have overflowed in wealth and generosity toward their part. "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord." These people not only went to, they gave what they could, they gave what they couldn't, right? They didn't give up to their means, they went beyond their means. They took a hit for the people that needed this other stuff. They needed that it were lacking. It says, it goes on to say, "begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part for the relief of the saints." Not only did they go beyond their means, they were wanting, they were begging these people to allow them to do this. They did it willingly and wantingly. That's a hard thing to go. Can we say we do that all the time? Not I. We should be shamed sometimes by what we read about some of these people that in other cultures at different times. These people in Macedonia didn't have a lot of stuff. They didn't have a lot of money. But they were willing to go to take from their own living, to take from their own wealth, even to put themselves in some kind of poverty, to be able to help a brother out. And that's what we should be living. We should be thinking more. Are we not supposed to think more of the other person than we do ourselves? Is that not what Paul is taught? Well, it's a hard way to live, isn't it? No, it's like, okay, someplace in New York, a Yankee needs something. Wait a second, they're Yankees. They don't need anything. We're Southerns. They didn't care. You know, we talk about them Californians. We got a couple here. And we care for them. They're not Texans, but they're okay people. I know. I love Terrell. And it says, "And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." In other words, they didn't expect them to do this. They went and they said, how can we please God? That's what they're meaning. We're doing this not for they didn't do this because the apostles told them to do it. They figured out the way that they wanted to please God and how they could do it. And then they come to the apostles and said, hey, we got this, take it. You see how they were doing this? It's not something that's forced. I think I'm live. Can you hear me now? I think it's you're not on? I think it's definitely on up here, so you need to check the, oh, you got green bars? Something? Test 1, 2, 3. We might want to see if we can get Tara, we might want to see if we can get him a different earpiece. I know. It may need a battery. Who knows? It goes on saying, well, I'm going to jump back to King James again. In so much as we desire Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So according, they urged Titus that he had started this, that he should complete this act of grace for them, okay? And that Titus had begun this stuff, he's going to send Titus back to him, and it's going to complete the act of grace. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance, and in knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in grace also. In other words, he's giving these people, he's like, hey, y'all are doing great. Y'all are doing great. He says, you abound in everything. Everything is everything, right? And he goes on to give a litany of things in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in diligence, in your love for us, the brethren, the apostles that were given the word. It says also, if you're abounding in that, abound also in this grace. And what is this grace he's talking about? The grace of giving, the giving of to help the other brethren out. And boy, let me turn that back. Now, I won't be breathing into it. Can you still hear me, coach? Can you still hear me? Okay. So this grace he's talking about is the grace of giving. He goes on to say, I speak not by commandment. In other words, I don't have the authority to tell you have to do this. This is not something that's set down in stone that that you hear that some places that you have to tithe, you have to give so much. That's not what we're doing. And here, we don't have the plate. We don't tell anybody what they should give. We have an offering box on the back that you're more than welcome to drop something into if you feel that you want to help the ministry out in any ways. And it's something that we should endeavor to do. We should endeavor to support the ministry as much as possible. Because we're not here for ourselves, are we? We are what? Ambassadors for Christ. This is a building that is used to proclaim the truth of who Christ is. This is a ministry that proclaims exactly who Christ is in a simple grace message. So, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. And when he says he speaks not by commandments, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, what's he talking about? There you go. It's a good one. If you go to the thing, it says, let me bring it over to modern English. It says, I say this not as a commandment, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. In other words, you see how these others have set an example for you to do. You see how these people in Macedonia had willingly given above and beyond to be able to take and for the saints that they don't even know back in Jerusalem. That's your example. And let me tell you, you know, I show you this, I prove this earnestness of others. This is what we should see from you. He says, by the earnestness of others, that your love is also genuine for these people. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. A good preacher can make a whole sermon out of that. Okay? But let's break it down a little bit. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The thing. That though he was rich. Was the Lord Jesus Christ rich? He was God. He owns everything. With a snap of his fingers, he could have made anything appear. He's God. He spoke the universe into existence. Is there anything he couldn't do? You're trying to get me down a rabbit hole, which I'm not going to jump down this morning, Coach. But yeah, I understand. But you understand my point being here, right? He's God. Okay? He is the rule. So, even though he was rich, even though he is God, for your sakes, he's talking about the believers out there, for their sakes, he became poor. How did he become poor? For 33 years, he lived the life of a man. He humbled himself to come down here and live our life and live our life perfectly. He took and he suffered all the things that we suffer from day to day. All the sins that we suffer. And he overcame every one of them perfectly. Why? Because he was God. He was perfect. So he made himself poor, so through his poverty, so that ye, again, when I say the ye and the thing, if you see a Y, that means there's two lines. That means that's a funnel. I think of it as a funnel where everything funnels down into. So it's a multiple. If you see a T across top, it's like, okay, nothing can get down in that anymore. So I kind of think of that, and I think of putting oil in a car with a funnel. It's a lot easier to put in a funnel and take the cap off and everything like that. But that's my technical brain thinking here, guys. So it says ye, it says all those people out there, that ye through Christ's poverty, through his walk, and through his bringing down himself to be a man, we might become rich. And herein is my advice. Notice he says his advice. For it is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Don't you love old English? It says it's a matter, and I'll bring it over to the regular. It says, in this matter, I give you my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do this. In other words, they started this giving over a year ago, right? You need to finish the job. not only finish it, but doing it with a good heart. Okay? Do everything we can unto Christ. We're supposed to be doing everything we can with proper motivations. Don't do it out of animosity. It's like, I started this year ago, I just got to get it finished. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For the readiness is there. It is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does have. In other words, you give according to what you have, right? Whatever God has given you to possess at this particular time, that's all that you can be accounted for. You don't have to give over and above what you should be given. Okay? It's not something that you have to be, you have to give everything you have for. It says, for I do not mean that others should be eased and your burden, but as a matter of fairness. In other words, it should be equal, okay? And we get this whole idea of equality, right? Everybody should be equal. In the Jerusalem church, what did they do? In the little flock back in Acts 2 and 3, what were they doing? It's 4 and 5 and 6. They were putting everything in one big pot, right? And nobody was lacking for anything, right? Everybody just got what you needed. Now, there wasn't an overabundance there, but everything was needed. That's what we're talking about here. That's how I do not mean that others... I'm going to go back to King James. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but... an equality, now that at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. In other words, if you have extra, it doesn't hurt to give that away. Why are we taking and we putting all of our extra stuff in a barn somewhere, where it's going to sit over there and rot, when that extra food can be given to somebody to eat? And this has to do with, and they're not talking about matters of extra stuff. They're not talking about, well, they need the overabundant stuff. They just need the stuff to live life, okay? So if you have extra, don't be saving that stuff up for your thing. If you have a brother or sister that needs it, you should be willing to give that up to that brother or sister that needs it, whether that be your time, whether that be your effort, whether that be your money, whether that be your food, you know? We should be caring for each other, right? It says, it is written... it is written that he that gathered gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. What was that off of? Everybody should know this. Exodus, manna. If you overgathered, what happened to it? It rotted. If you undergathered, it's always enough. God supplied, right? God's going to supply us what we need. We should be walking through our lives trusting that He is there to be our supplier. If we take, that's the reason why it's all, you know, we talk about how, and I've seen this for years, well, back in the year days when I was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you hear about the explosion of Christianity in South America. And you see the pulling away from Christianity in modern America. Why is that so? I can give you my reasonings. I don't know. It may be sound. Maybe I might agree with it. It's awful easy to, and the coach, I think you're going down this, it's awful easy to us to lean on our own whenever we have a whole lot, right? We don't need God. I got a bank account. I got YouTube. I got 356 channels on my television to entertain me. If I don't like what's watching, I'll just switch to something else. When you have nothing, you have to rely upon God. God doesn't want us, He doesn't want us starving, but He doesn't want us overabundant either. He wants us relying upon Him every day for everything we need. Understand that what we have, everything we have was given to us by God. Did not God make everything on earth? And if we take and repurpose it, if we repurpose a tree and make it a chair, did not God make the tree that made the chair? Did not God give you the knowledge or the artisan the knowledge to be able to make that chair up? We think that we're so smart and we can do everything on our own. It's something that we have to guard against constantly, even as Christians, even as believers. Because we get complacent, do we not? And that's what he's trying to say. Don't get complacent with your wealth. Don't get complacent with what you have. If you have something extra, give it to these people that need it. He cannot tell. And as I said, this is his judgment. This is not a commandment. He's not commanding these people to do this. It says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. So he says, but thanks be to God who put in the heart of Titus the same earnest care that he has for him, okay? Titus loves these people. He has a care for them. He comes through and he's like, Titus, when they would come through, they patted Titus on the back. They gave him everything, you know, put him up and everything. And when he comes there, he's like, these guys, they read your letter and they put your words to use and they're doing good work. I love these guys. That's what Titus says. I love these people. And Titus, he says, for he not only accepted our appeal, but he himself, being very earnest, is going to you of his own accord. I didn't have to send Titus back to you. He's going to you of his own accord. He wants to come back there and finish his work. Okay? He's happy about this. That's a long walk, but he's happy to do it. It says, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and the declaration of your ready mind. In other words, there has been a guy that the church has set forward to this grace he's talking about is the giving, okay? And Titus is going to go there to minister this. And not only that, but this brother that was chosen to administer the grace for Macedonia is going to come with him because it's his job. He's going to see it through. He has been chosen to do this, okay? He has been appointed by the churches to travel with us and to carry out with this act of grace that is being ministered by us. Okay? It is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God, and to show our good and to show our goodwill. In other words, we have a Titus is coming there. He's going to come with a brother. This brother is somebody that's been appointed to administer this, and they're doing this not for our own notoriety. We're doing this for the grace message, who is God and what he's doing and how he protects, takes care of his people. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. In other words, we're doing it this way so that nobody can say, them apostles told y'all to do this and y'all, you know, you were commanded to do this by the call. This is, we're taking this course so everybody knows that this is a willing gift of your own. Not only that, the Macedonians and these people in the church of Macedonia, they set aside, they want to do this. They come to the apostle, they said, we want to do this for these people. They need the help. This is not of our doing. This is a willingness of the believers to help out other believers, which they don't even know. It's a grace thing if you've ever seen it. But it's being administered by the apostles, so they're saying, we're not taking credit for this. It's not to our glory. We aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. We want to be well thought of. What we want God to was honorable in God's sight, but also in man's sight. We don't want people looking at us and saying they're doing this for their own notoriety. They're doing this for themselves to make big men out of themselves. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest by many matters, who is now more earnest than ever because of this great confidence in you. So this brother that has been tested and found earnest in me, he's very upright. He takes care of business and what he's doing. And is more earnest because the confidence he's seeing, he is seeing the enthusiasm in them and just pulling over with more enthusiasm for himself, right? It's amazing how when you see somebody on fire, how you can get on fire along with them sometimes. It says, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers for the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and our boasting about you to these men. In other words, when they went to the churches, they said, you know, these Corinthian people, they're awesome. They study their word. They're doing the things that they're supposed to do. They're doing what God wants them to do. They're great people. They are. That's what God was saying about it. He had been going to these other places and boasting about how good these people are over here. And he's saying, when these people come unto you, show them that our boasting that we have been doing about you, about your love and how you take care of the brethren and your love for Christ, show them that what we're saying was not false. Show them that love. Okay. Now, 9:1, we'll go on a little bit more. It says, now, it's superfluous to me to write to you about the ministry of the saints. Superfluous. There's a word. Who has a definition for superfluous? I know you do. What's superfluous there, lawyer?
I actually looked this up this morning, and I have forgotten the definition. Superfluous, but I have a computer. The definition of superfluous, according to Webster's, is unnecessary, especially through being more than enough. So that's the kind of an idea. So now it is superfluous of me. I don't know what they wrote superfluous down here when it could say. It's more than enough. It is superfluous of me to write to you about the ministry of the saints. I don't really need to write to you about the ministry of the saints, guys. Y'all know this, right? I like that word, superfluous. I'm going to have to use that at work. I put that on. I find a word of the day, and sometimes I'll see how many times I could use it in a diagnosis of a car. I'll do that. You'll get your diagnosis back on your car, and I have to find a way to use superfluous. It says, "For I know your readiness. I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia. I'm saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." In other words, he went to Macedonia, and he's like, them people over in Achaia, Corinthians, he's like, they've been ready since last year to make this donation. And he's like, their readiness has stirred up a zeal in Macedonia to get them on board for all this giving that need to be done. It says, "But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not be proved empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be." In other words, guys, I'm sending this letter ahead. I'm going to send Titus. Don't make a fool out of me. I've been boasting about how good you guys have been and everything, and how y'all been ready for a year to give these funds that need to be taken care of these saints over in Jerusalem. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Otherwise, if some of the Macedonians come with me and find you not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. In other words, we would be humiliated when we come there because we have been boasting about you. But not only we would be humiliated, but you yourself should be humiliated for being so confident you could do this. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go ahead to you and arrange in advance the gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. In other words, you promised this, huh? Yeah, have your gift ready when you get there, okay? Don't make me remind you of what you said you were going to do. You know, you promised this, and I'm a man of my word. Now, if I make a promise, I'm going to try my bestest to keep it. Am I always going to be able to keep a promise? No, sometimes my mind forgets things. Sometimes I may forget I actually promised to do something. But in what I say I'm going to do, I always try to do it the best I can. Okay? And that's what he's saying to these people. He's like, I'm letting you know ahead of time. They're coming back over there. Have this ready so that we don't have to remind you of the promises that you made. Do this willingness. It says, to this point, and I didn't plan on going past 9:05, but we'll read a little bit because I got about 10 minutes. I'm going a little farther, faster than I thought to. Unless y'all want to talk about any of the stuff I've already talked about. Oh, coach, here we go. Kind of like a witness that, that everything's above board. Yeah. Okay, you got anything else? Well, let's go on just a little bit. We'll do a little reading. We might talk about this a little bit. Like I said, I really hadn't studied a lot. This may be easy. Like I said, I really hadn't studied on this morning. I didn't really think I was going to go this far. It says, to this point, what... Whoever sows accordingly shall also reap sparingly. Okay. Redo that one. To this point, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. In other words, God gives us the ability to do certain things. And as we are proven that we can handle that particular thing, then God's going to give us more, right? Whenever we start our children off, do we start, the first time we give them an allowance, do we give them $100? No, we give them a nickel. Well, I don't know what a nickel buys nowadays, but when I was growing up, a nickel would buy you a whole lot of candy. But you understand what I'm saying. We're not starting on off on this. We give them a little bit. We guide them along how to handle it and see how they're going to handle it. And if they handle it well, then we loosen the leash a little bit, right? When you let your child out, whenever they get to the point of the age where they can start, you know, we have raised them up. They're teenagers now. They're 16. And they're going to be 18 before we know it. You have to start loosening the leash a little bit, don't you? Do you take the leash off all of a sudden? No, it goes from 6 feet to 8 feet to a point where you can trust them. So, if you take and if you give sparingly, if you take and you just give whatever the little bit you can give to make it say, hey, I gave. Nobody can say anything. They saw me throw my money in that bucket as it passed. It was a jingly money. It wasn't that soundproof money that don't make no money when you drop it. That was a jingly money because I want everybody to hear it hit the pan. No, but it's... So if you reap sparingly, you're going to sow sparingly. But the person that reaps abundantly, these people in Macedonia that are given surpass their ability to give. God will honor that. He's not going to let them people... We don't trust in this world. We trust in what God gives us. And we understand that when God gives us stuff to manage over, it's His for us to manage. It's not ours. And if we manage it well, He's going to continue to allow us to manage more. We should be taking care of the saints. Don't think that if you give sparingly, God's going to honor that. If you give, if you feel that you're going to sow bountifully, God's going to reap that bounty back to you. Each one must give as he decided in his own heart. In other words, nobody can tell you how much to give. In the Old Testament, there were tithes given on everything. If you did the right tithe, you were given like 33% or something like that. There was three tithes at different time plus... You can go in all kinds of stuff. In the Old Testament law, there was tithes that were given. Okay? And if you do some study, you can do some study on that sort of stuff. That was, you had to give that. In this New Testament, in our new understanding, And grace giving does not say, God does not tell you how much you have to give. That is up to you, and that's the relationship you have with God. So, he says, everyone must give as decided in his own heart. It's your relationship with God that's going to decide how much you should give. Not reluctancy or under compulsion. In other words, you shouldn't be given. If you're going to give, you should be willing to give that money. And we're not going to force, nobody should be forcing you to give anything. But God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? He doesn't want somebody giving out of under duress. He wants you to be able to give willfully and cheerfully and say, you know what? I want this thing to go. This is my gift to you, God. I'm giving back to you what you gave to me. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things, you may be able to be, you may be abound to every good work. In other words, God is able to make grace abound unto you. In other words, God is able to sustain you totally on this earth. God is able to do that, is he not? If he couldn't, he wouldn't be God. If he made this earth, if the earth turns because he is here, if he can destroy the earth, then everything is his. And he's able to make this grace abound to each one of us. So that having all sufficiency in all things, in all times, that we may abound in every good work. And everything we do for God, this, in this giving and in our life as we're living, and all the work we do for God, God is able to, he is sufficient to be able to give us everything we need to accomplish that mission. If he's not, he's not God. It says, that is as written, he distributed freely and has given the poor his righteousness endures. Or is it? As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. If you want to read that, it comes out of Psalms 112. He who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your harvest, the harvest for your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving in God. Okay, so he has distributed freely. He has given the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Who is this he? God. God supplies the seed to the sower. He supplies the bread for the food. It's all him. In doing so, he increased the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to us, right? To God. Okay, so through this sowing, through this multiplying, through his supplying, you will be enriched in every way. So through this thing, he's going to enrich us in every way, right? So that, what is that enrichment for? That enrichment is there so that we could be generous in every way to people
that we encounter to the brothers and everything. And in doing so, what it doesn't produce glory to us. It produces glory in understanding who God is and what he's doing. Everything comes from God. Everything's for God. Everything's to the glory of God. For the ministry of his service is not in supplying the needs of the saints. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saint, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving for God. In other words, this ministry is just not for supplying the needs, the daily needs that people need to survive. The beans, the bullets, and the band-aids is what I used to call in the Marine Corps, okay? The stuff that you need to go forth and do the mission that you're designed to do, okay? That's the physical stuff that people need to live, right? It's not only supplying that, but it supplies an overflowing thanksgiving to God. Why? Because of God, through the belief, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the grace of these people that they don't even know, other people are being helped up, and the glory is going to God. Isn't that not amazing? It says, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Okay, so by their approval of this service, in other words, the people that are receiving the service, right? By their approval, they will glorify God. They're not going to glorify you. They're going to glorify God because of your submission, because you have submitted to the will of God and you have given this that comes from your confession. What is our confession? Of the gospel of the great of the gospel of God. In other words, that Jesus accomplished it all. Okay? What is our gospel? That God sent him to live on the earth, to live as a man, and he did that for some 33 years. When it come time, he willingly put himself on the cross to die a sinless man, to die, put the sins of every man, every sin that had ever been accomplished, that ever had been done, every sin that ever will be done was put on the Lord Jesus that day when he was on that cross. He took the sin of every man previous, during, and after what he did. It was all put on him, and it was all paid for by the Son of God. He paid our sin debt for us. What was our sin debt? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, he gave us a free gift. He supplied the death which is required by us. So what should we supply to him? Our life, everything we have. Understand that we should be living this life for Christ. We don't do it perfectly. Nobody does. Don't beat yourself up if you're not doing it perfectly. You're not perfect. I am not perfect. We still wage a battle against this old man that still lives within inside this old nature. But we should be living for God. And he's saying that in doing this confession that who Christ is, the confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God unto you. Thanks be to God, this inexpressible gift. Huh? I'm going to stop right there. Does anybody else got anything you want to say about this?
I got farther than I thought I was going to.
This is actually, in a way, it's easy to understand, is it not? But when it's easy to understand, it's hard to teach. Because it's like, how deep do you go into each understanding? I think you run through this sometimes. It's like, how far do I want to go down to this? And where do I feel that I should stop? And where do I feel that I'm capable of not going any farther? So sometimes the easiest thing to teach, where you can read through and you can see that the giving was supposed to be willingly and everything. And that's basically what they're talking about here. Give to each other the same grace that God give to you. Treat each other better than what you would treat yourself. We should always look out for our brothers and sisters wherever they are. They're not perfect and we are not perfect. But they're still our brothers and sisters, okay? Anybody got anything else before we go? Wesley, would you close this in one place, sir?